and by the mercies of God, in that vein of power, we're to present ourselves as living sacrifices. Paul went on to say that we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. A transformation, a change, take place in us, and a new way of thinking by a renewing of our minds, saturated by God's Word, truth, newness of creation through the Holy Spirit and by His Word. Then he goes on talking about, you know, the new way of thinking, not to think of ourselves higher than we ought, but to be humble. And, you know, God's given us a different perspective. Now we're to see a different way through different set of eyes. Now we see His body, and His body gifted differently, different members. Paul, in verse... Let's see here. 6. To having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Calling us into a response, to be activated, to be involved, to be participants. Someone said, Warren Wiersbe or Barclay, when they said, you know, we're now not passengers on a ship, but all crew members. We're all to man our post and be activated and involved in with Jesus and the gifts that He's given us. But Paul going on, talking about the change that takes place at conversion when Jesus, you know, gives us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and there's a change wrought in our heart and our thinking and our life, newness of creation. We're to live that way. And part of living that way, in verse 9, where we left off last week, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Love is a part, the biggest part, of the new nature, walking in the Spirit, walking with Christ, living in Christ. He said, let our love, or let our actions, be without hypocrisy. We're to be honest about who we are, about ourselves. We were talking about hypocrisy the other day. You know, be what you is and not what you ain't, because you is what you ain't what you is. We're to be honest and sincere. You know, hypocrisy takes a double meaning, you know, not to act like we're not, but not to pretend, you know, to be not what we're not, but also to be who we are, not to hide who we really are. That's the honesty and sincerity of being who we are. Jesus is the only one that can free us to be truly who we are, to be ourselves, to walk the way He made us. But to love without hypocrisy, to be ourselves. Paul goes on, part of living with love and in love. Love or without hypocrisy hates evil. Love hates evil. Remember, we're going through Job. God talking about Job proudly says, now, hey, he's my servant. Have you considered my servant Job? He's my boy. He's he's one of my prizes. He talks about him this way. There's none like him on all the earth, a blameless man, an upright man who fears God and shuns evil, turns away from evil. We're to hate evil and the newness of our creation and the change being transformed. Hate evil. Cling to what is good. Paul goes on to cleave, it says in the King James. You know, we're doing the wedding, you know, and you're the groom. You're to leave your father and your mother, and you're to cleave to your bride. Leaving, cleaving, and then weaving a new life. And same with us, as we come to Him. We're to leave what is evil, what is sin, the old ways, the old patterns. We're to cleave to what is good, to Him. The Old Testament talks about it this way, hold fast to the Lord your God. Cleave means to be glued to, stuck to. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to turn away from evil, to be stuck to what is good. Love without hypocrisy, being honest about ourselves. Paul starts getting into nitty-gritty here. You know, and this last portion in this chapter is really just exhortations. It's real little snippets. You can make a sermon out of each one of them. But we're just going to cruise through them. In verse 10, he goes on, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." You know, the new changed life. We're to view, we see ourselves differently. We see God's family. He gives us a different perspective. We're a part of God's family. We're brothers and sisters. And Paul talks about loving one another with brotherly affection, to treat one another, you know, the right way, in a wholesome attitude of heart, brotherly love. He said the treatment of others, to prefer them over yourself, myself, and new concepts of God's family. The Bible tells us in 1 John, we know that we have passed from death into life because we have love for the brethren. A new family relationship, a new family perspective. We're to treat one another rightly. You know, which brings up the question, you know, what if I've never had a role model, or I've lacked the upbringing or the family pattern? You know, I got nothing to, I was talking to somebody the other day, man, I had no role model. I hear you, I know. Me too. You know, Charles Bronson was my role model when I was young. And yet, so what? I mean, that's why Paul's teaching us the scripture. That's why he's given us a new mind. That's why he wants our mind renewed. Because we need a role model. We need a new perspective. And that perspective is, you know, having a proper understanding of God's family. You know, if I'm operating in my selfish, me-first attitude, I need to change. Transformed, the Bible tells us. This is all in the context of being changed. Be kind, affectionate, with brotherly love. Kind of have a spirit of preference of others and a spirit of love. He goes on in verse 11, and not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. How to serve the Lord in the new nature. How to serve the Lord with a transformed, new, renewed mind. Don't be lazy. Don't lagging. Don't lag in diligence, you know. Be diligent. You know, kind of how to apply ourselves. Serving Him, not to be lazy. Luther says, be not lazy as to what you ought to do. Kind of the effort. You know, how do we apply ourselves? We're to apply ourselves wholeheartedly. Be diligent. Don't be lagging. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy in our service to Christ. He addresses how we are to serve Christ. You know, that's a duty. You know, I've got to do it again today. But to do it with the right heart, attitude, will. Apply ourselves. The Bible tells us in Colossians, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Be diligent. Don't be lazy. Don't be lagging in diligence in our servants to service to Christ. He said, be fervent. That really speaks about our inward attitude. Fervent really means, the word means to boil, to be heated up. It's kind of having that passion. Be fervent. You know, don't be lazy in the way you serve Him, how you apply yourself in serving Him, but with the kind of heart and attitude you serve Him with. May it boil. See, be fervent. Let it boil. You know, Jesus warns us in the book of Revelations, you know, about the church of Laodicea. They were neither hot nor cold. that kind of turns his stomach to the point where he's saying, I'm going to spit them out of my mouth. Be hot is what Paul's saying with the right inward attitude. In Matthew 24, when Jesus' disciples asked him, you know, tell us about the end times, the signs of your coming. What will they be like? Jesus said that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold, grow cold. But Paul's saying, and it's true, you know, it's one of our challenges today to stay, you know, in the right temperature as we serve him with the right heart. You know, the best thing that helps me, you know, you get into a routine, you got to teach Bible studies, and you got a routine pattern. Sometimes, you know, you get tired, or you're working. I work today, or you overlap, and you get tired. You don't feel good. You get nauseous. You know, you don't want to really go through the routine again. You know, you come to the desk. I did today. I came to the desk and said, Lord, I don't feel good. But, Lord, you know, pick me up. Plug me in and use me. See, we're his tools. He's given us gifts. We're to use them. And, you know, whatever gift he's given us, he, you know, oversees and charges and equips. Paul says, you know, the way we're to serve him diligently, not lazily, and fervently, you know, on fire, boiling, the right temperature, the right passion, the right heart. We're to stay hot. Paul's referencing our service to Jesus. You know, Jesus said, as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. How we're to serve him, with the kind of heart we're to serve him, and realizing that when we're dealing with our brothers and our sisters, we're serving him. How we're to treat others. How we're to, you know, with that right heart, a preference over ourselves. Now notice, you know, Rosanna and I we know a lot of the scriptures, so, you know, we'll sit back and say, hey, aren't you supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church? You know, and my response is, hey, it says preference with each other. You know, it's a mutual, it's reciprocal. You can sit back and think, hey, you know, wait a minute. But that's not the truth. The truth of being godly is God initiates. He's the one that steps up and the bigger person, or the one that truly, you know, oversees and dives in. And I'm preaching myself. You know, I need these exhortations. He goes on to verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Talking about suffering, we're going to skip that one. rejoicing in hope, you know, looking forward to the future brings help for the present. You know, that's how Jesus endured the cross, the Bible says, you know, despising the shame. Looking forward to the glory, the joy that was set before me, endured the cross, despising the shame. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. You know, I don't feel, you know, worthy to expound. But we're to endure trials with the right attitude. I struggle with this. You know, when tribulation comes, man, I don't have the right attitude. I kick into, you know, poor me mode, or this ain't fair mode. But responding Christ-like, growing up, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Someone said that it causes our spirit to be buoyant. You know, we float, we cruise when we rejoice in hope. He goes on. Steadfast in prayer. You know, each one of these, I mean, you could spend, you know, 4-week series on. Stay in prayer. You know, he just says that, you know, it just comes right out, 3 words. But what it means to maintain prayer, maintain a prayer life, key to victory. And to maintain the discipline of a prayer life when you don't feel like it. To overcome, to spend time with Him. The battle, Pastor Chuck talks about prayer and Satan, how he views prayer. You know, as if two gets in a fight, you know, and someone has a knife. The focus becomes upon the knife, because that's the greatest danger in the fight. Satan definitely comes against our prayer life. Stay in prayer. Be steadfast in prayer. That's what Paul's saying. Maintain a prayer life. How we need it. He goes on in verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given the hospitality. Notice, you know, meeting the needs of the saints. Given the hospitality. You know, and more so in that culture. You know, to be hospitable. They didn't have hotels, you know, open your house. Let people stay with you. Today, we kind of open our house. It's more of an entertainment thing. You know, hey, come on over. We'll have dinner. We'll watch a comedy. You know, it's not like what he's meaning here. He's meaning, you know, open your house to meet their needs. They don't have a place to stay. Help them. Intervene with them. Be hospitable in that culture, meeting the needs. The Bible tells us, you know, us meeting the needs of the saints, especially in the book of Galatians, Paul says, especially to those of the household of faith. Or Peter says, the honor sandwich, I call it. You know, he says, honor all people, fear God, love the brotherhood, honor the king. You know, there's a distinguishable difference. And we're to honor all people. We're to love the family. You know, we're to respect the president. We're to fear God with reverence. Meeting the needs of the saints. In verse 14, another exhortation. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Well, that's easy to say. Bless those who persecute you. Only Christ can do this. And only Christ can do it in us. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Here, turn to Luke chapter 6. Look at he takes this right from the Sermon on the Mount. We'll read a few verses here. Jesus says it best. In verse 27, chapter 6. Sermon on the Mount. But I say to you, who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. From him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. The treatment of our enemies. Jesus, you know, treated his enemies that way. When he, you know, speaks, it has weight because it's who he is. You know, he has it's an expectation for a mature Christian or a big brother, one who's grown in Christ, but impossible apart from Christ. Treatment of the enemies, of your enemies. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. You know, this is an exhortation that it's not always about us. You know, certain people go through things. We're to tune in, lay down us, look at them, see them, hear them, weep with them, rejoice with them. They're rejoicing. You know, even if you're not in a good mood. Even if you don't feel like rejoicing. Christ in you. Love, the change, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, Paul's talking about. In verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You know, we're to be agreeable as much as possible. You know, he says, he states, if it's possible. We're to be at peace with everyone. You can only do so much to be at peace with someone. Someone's got a major attitude toward you, you can't change that attitude. You can try to be at peace with them, with everything within your power and possibility, the realm of possibility. Paul says, be at peace, be agreeable. Don't be a snob. Don't be high-minded, you know, deal with the common man, look at the regular folk like Jesus did, hung out with the common people. You know, how to live, how to treat others. Verse 17, how to respond. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. This is directly contra to your natural response. Somebody comes up and says some snide remark to you. You automatically get 3 or 4 inspired sarcastic comments to fire back. But that's not Christian. That's not Christ-like. That's flesh-like. He's saying lay down the flesh-like and act more like Christ-like. The heart. Repay no one evil for evil. Notice he says having regard for the things that are good. And it's kind of like he's raising the bar here, you know, and he does as he goes on. You know, now treatment of enemies. Now when someone remarks or responds or, you know, makes a comment towards you, don't, if someone pays evil against you, don't respond in evil, you know. Respond with good. He says, you know, pay regard to the good things. I see, you know, illustration. You know. He desires us to get out of the way. And he's calling us to step down. You remember how many people wanted Kwame Kilpatrick to step down? Oh, he's got to resign. And he's up there, he's stubbornly out of reality, refusing to step down. But the Bible and the Holy Spirit is prompting us to get out of the way, that he might set up camp, that he might be enthroned in our heart, that his way over us might be activated and lived by his Spirit. And only by his Spirit, Christ-like, through the power of his Spirit, can we even touch not responding evil when someone makes a snide, evil, malicious comment towards us. But have a regard for the good things. You know, it's almost like esteeming what is good. And, you know, the cause of Christ, that's what's good. He's going to get into, like, our public behavior. Other people are looking. We don't realize how many people are looking. You know, at the grocery store, driving around. You don't know how many people see you, and you don't see them. You're under observation, more so by Christ, by God. And our public behavior, you know, how to respond. He's calling us to a higher standard. Surrender the right to retaliate, to take revenge. You know, it does come against all that's, you know, how we're wired, how I want to respond, the things I want to say. And so often we think, oh man, God gave me a really good comment. And we twist things. You know, Mr. T used to say, you know, yeah, everybody, you know, everybody says turn your other cheek. Well, when I turn my other cheek, I follow it with a right hook, he says. Responding in his own strength, with his own might. But Jesus, love your enemies. Lay down your right to retaliate. Don't bring revenge. Step out of the way to trust the Lord. That's what the transformation process objective is working in us, transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus did, how he treated his enemies. In verse 20, he goes on. Verse 19, Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To trust him. To allow him. You know, Jesus is the legislative, executive, and judicial branch of God's government. We're to allow him that position in us, over us. Notice in verse 20, therefore, first of all, therefore, since, the aforesaid mentioned, therefore, another bridge to cross and apply. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heat coals of fire on his head. You know, it goes deeper. You know, from one, not to respond. Don't be bitter. You know, when somebody snaps at you, don't snap back. But now, love them back. If he's hungry, feed him. Thirsty, give him a drink. How to treat our enemies. And I have Robert the other night here. Let's pray for our enemies. You go ahead, Robert. You pray. I'll try to agree with you. And how Jesus treated his enemies. Turning an enemy into a friend. That's the objective. How to witness, how to reach people for Christ. That's how Christ reached me. You know, I was an enemy. I was a solidified enemy. I used to walk around and talk about, you know, atheism. I used to propagate atheism. Oh, Christ, the Bible. And the influence I brought on others, you know, regretfully. Yet, darkness. An enemy. I mean, I lived as an enemy of Jesus Christ. And yet, he loved me. He loved me. Look at, he captured me through his love. You know, that's what he's asking us to do now. You know, go win others for Christ. Use the same method. Christ's way. In verse 21, do not be overcome by evil. But overcome evil with good. He just said, you know, in loving, if your enemy thirsts, give him a drink. If he's hungry, give him something to eat. You know, the treatment of your enemy. Love them. They don't deserve it. Love them. And by doing that, you know, you're heaping coals of fire on their head. Now, this has kind of been misconstrued. Early on, I used to think, hey, you're actually just, you know, storing up wrath for them. As if, you know, you're going to remember. You don't have to say it now. Because he's having vengeance for us, you know. He's taking our place. When you're in hell and you're remembering this situation, you're going to be reminded of this very conversation. We're not saying that, you see. We're thinking that. Oh, yeah, he's going to get you. You're going to go to hell. And then when you're in hell, this whole conversation is going to replay throughout eternity. Oh yeah, Christ will deal with you heaping coals of fire on your head. I will. The wrong kind of attitude. Heart. I was reading about an Egyptian custom. When a person wanted to show public contrition or sorrow for what he had done wrong, he carried a pan of burning coals on his head. The coals represented the burning pain of his shame and his guilt. You know how, you know, by doing so, kind of like assisting that process. You know, Jesus was so patient with me. And, you know, and the spite and the bitterness, the hatred I had at such a measure and level. And yet, he just showed me love. And how attractive that became to the point where, hey, I started feeling guilty and shameful. And in that process, repentance. And, helping them how to turn an enemy into a friend. The process of loving them and allowing Christ to love them through us helps process the shame and the guilt in them. You know, turning an enemy into a friend, turning them, causing them to embrace repentance and Jesus and God, God's love, bringing change to them, winning our enemies. Paul, talks about, the change in applying the truth of God's grace and change of, having a renewed mind, changing your way of thinking, humility. Even if you're gifted, you got many gifts. See yourself in truth, where the gifts come from, who's to be exalted, and how we're to love and sincerely be ourselves without masks. Be true and honest. If you don't feel like that, don't act like you feel like that. Be honest about who we are and our representation of who we are, for that brings honor to Him, glory to Him. Being truthful in our treatment of others, and how to treat the saints, love the brotherhood, how to treat our enemies. Only through Christ can we turn an enemy into a friend for Jesus Christ. It's clear, it's simple, it's written right here. So just go home and do it. Let's stand. Father, we do hear what you're saying, and Lord, we ask that you enable us by your Spirit, Lord, that you give us the patience, the restraint over our own flesh, over the sin and the habits in our mouth, in our thinking, a new way of thinking, transformed into your image by the renewing of our mind. And Lord, the truth of your love and the truth of your Spirit, the truth of your word, saturate our minds, Lord. Teach us. Become our new role model, that we're not conformed to this world, patterned after trends and what's popular and the heroes, or who's recognized as the heroes. But you be our hero, Lord. We look to you to work this out in our heart. Do what we can't do for ourselves. We praise you, Lord, for the truth of your grace. What we're not able to do, you do. Lord, we do ask that you pour out your Spirit upon us, that you'd have mercy and grace over us, Lord. That the overcoming walk of the Spirit-filled life, we would taste and walk in them shoes, overcoming evil with good. Lord, we know that only you can do that, and we pray that you would, for your glory, Lord, that we would uphold the things that are good. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have another song?